Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own. For like the whole question about have a guy having like a rough day, you know, if you don't remember exactly what you said, like I can read it. but I kind of just wanted to touch on that part too, because I feel like so many guys that I speak with they're worried about like the vulnerability piece. So I've been trying to like ask everybody to kind of, you know, talk about that, like ladies talk about that, because I feel like most of us like the vulnerability, you know. Okay, so I'll just read what you said, and then if you want to like kind of expand on it.
Okay.
So the question was, do you want him to share that he's had a bad day or stay strong? You know, there can be a lot of pressure for guys to hold it all in. Does this make us look weak to admit it when we don't? And so you said it absolutely does not make men seem weak when they share their feelings. I actually am really impressed when a guy is able to be open and vulnerable. And I think it is extremely important in a relationship that both people feel completely comfortable in themselves and sharing their feelings. I believe a relationship is a partnership, and both men and women should support one another.
Yeah. I said that. I think like if a guy is trying to act a certain way, like I don't think the relationship can get very deep. Like I want to be in a relationship with someone where it feels like we can both be completely honest and vulnerable. And like I understand it maybe at the very beginning stages, you know, depends on like how far along you are in a relationship, how much you open up. But in general, I feel like to me, it is totally not a weakness. If a guy's just like honest, like, hey, I had a hard day. I'm like kind of struggling with this right now. I'm not feeling super tough or strong or whatever.
Yeah. Insert thing here. Yeah, I agree though. I'm very much the like, just share it with me. I would rather know. So,
yeah.
Okay. So you're currently not in like an official season of singleness. You're trying to date, or?
Yeah, kind of. I'm on the apps. I'm not really.
Okay.
But trying to put myself out there.
Yeah. Okay. Same. The apps are just a whole thing though. Okay. So, yeah, I just like how you kind of were talking about that you would, you know, you would end your season of singleness, you know, but you might have used that as an excuse in the past. So if you want to kind of touch on that, cause I've done the same thing. but you know, just kind of touch on that, like how you've learned from that, or like what you would do differently moving forward.
Yeah. I feel like I have been in a season of singleness in the past, but I think I said something like at this age, like Mr. Right just came along. I feel like I so know what I'm looking for at this point. So I feel like if that came along, like I would definitely be willing to end my season of singleness early. But I think I may have used that in the past. I don't know. I need to work on like being more honest with guys about like rejecting. That's just something that I'm struggling with. And like actually been listening to the What Men Think podcast, hearing that over and over again, like, okay,
that's
a problem that I have. Like, so I think it's, it can sometimes feel easier just saying, like, there's somebody from my church that I feel like, I guess early on, I might have said something like, I'm just not dating right now. And I think I assume that guys will like get the hint. Because I feel like I would, if I were like, I would just be like, oh, like they're not really interested. They're just trying to be nice. But like, that's not how it works. So then like, I've gotten more clear with him that I'm just like, I'm really not interested in you. And I feel like it's so rude to spell that out. But like, probably nicer in the end of the day, just to be super clear.
So. Yeah, for sure. I think that's one of the biggest things that I've realized from listening to the What Men Think is how much they actually would just rather us be a little bit more blunt and be like, hey, I'm not actually interested in you. Because I, again, like you said, I would be like, oh, okay, they're not interested. Like that's the conclusion that I would come to myself, you know? But apparently they don't think that way. So I was like, oh, okay. Because myself too, like I said, I've used the dating or like I haven't really used the words in a season of singleness, but I have like, mm-hmm. I, you know, I'm just not really looking to date right now, that kind of thing. Right. Yeah. You know, but again, like I've don't know why I didn't realize that guys would rather it be a little bit more blunt and in your face and be like, I'm just not into you, you know, but anyway, I love that that's the thing that's kind of coming out of what men think so far.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a couple episodes behind this week, but it's okay. But I've really been enjoying the series, which is obviously why I'm doing this one.
Yeah.
But it's really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what's funny is everybody has been saying, basically just ask if a guy wants a hug. I'm like, me too. I don't know why that's a thing. I'm just like, just ask me for a hug or just come and hug me and I'll hug you back. But anyway, I just thought that was an interesting question though, that I was like, I'm going to leave this one in here because I'm curious to see what all of us women think about that particular one.
Yeah.
Okay. So the filters question, like as far as pictures.
Got a little passionate about that one.
Yeah, I know. When that one quick came through, I was like, I know why he's asking this question, but I feel like this might set some ladies off, but we'll see. We'll see how it all turns out. But anyway, so the question is, why do you use pictures that you can't live up to? Right, it's like the basic thing, you know, using angles, et cetera, et cetera. And so, yeah, like I personally have also, like you said this, but I've also been told that I look better in person. Like mm-hmm. most guys don't, not that they don't like my photos, but they are like, oh, well, we think you look prettier in person. And I'm like, well, thank you. You know? And I'm like, I feel like everybody tends to look better in person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I just thought this question was interesting. So I don't know if you have like any other thoughts on it or.
I mean, I just imagine that some girls might use filters like to get the first date. And then they're kind of hoping that like
mm-hmm.
spark or personality, like, I don't know, like something that will take over if they're having a hard time getting that first date. But and it's just our society is so like so much pressure to look perfect. And
mm-hmm.
but yeah. In general, I feel like it isn't really wise to do that. So I'm surprised if there are a lot of girls doing that. But.
Exactly. I'm like, I guess because we're not on like the apps from the guy's point of view, right? Like we can't see the other women. And so I'm over here like, I don't do that. And like, I always have a full body photo and I always have a no makeup photo and like,
oh, wow.
You know, that's just how I do it. Right. And so, you know, I mean, there might be like specific angles, but again, you can still see me. And yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm just kind of, I always find that very interesting when this question comes up from guys, and I have a lot of guy friends. And so they ask me this all the time. But yeah, I'm like, I don't see that. And like, even on my friends, like Facebook or Instagrams or whatever, like they're not doing that either. And so I'm like, where are you finding these women?
Yeah.
You know, anyway. Okay so you said you wanted more context for this next question, so I'm just going to read it and then we can kind of discuss it. If a guy is 50 but looks 35 and has high energy, what's the best way to approach a woman not knowing their age? So I think what he's asking is like, basically, how do you approach it and not seem creepy because you're 50?
I guess. So is he specifically saying he wants to go after a woman that's 35 or like a woman that's much younger or?
No, I think I think his point of view is like, because sometimes you can't tell how old somebody is, right? Like just by looking at them, because like he looks younger, right? Where like some people have said that I look like way younger than I am and other people think I'm way older, you know? And so I'm like, no, you know? So I think that's what he's trying to figure out is like, how do you make the approach when you honestly have no idea how old this woman is and not appear to be like, you know, weird or creepy or anything like that?
I think if the woman is, I don't know what would be considered creepy, but like,
mm-hmm.
obviously like in college or something, you know, like then she finds out that you're 50, like that's a little weird. But like otherwise I feel like if she looks like she's like, I don't know, I'm 37, like 50. I would be open to 50, like at this, like, I mean, it's a little bit above what I would normally be looking for, but like, I wouldn't be creeped out by that. So if, I don't know if he can kind of gauge, like,
yeah.
And then if she's creeped out by it, like, whatever, like, you know, no big loss. Like,
yeah.
And, like, I think just approaching just like anybody else, and then, you know, age would hopefully come up like fairly early on, or he can make some kind of like comment to like suggest age.
Yeah. Exactly. I would agree. Me, I'm like, just ask. just ask flat out, like, hey, how old are you? You know, I mean, that's what I do, but because I like to be direct. So,
yeah,
you know, just be direct. Okay, cool. Okay, so like the whole first date question and like spending a lot of money and things, if you want to just kind of like, I guess, reiterate your point on that. If you remember like what you said.
Yeah. I hope that was a good question. Cause I feel like for me personally, like I view a first date, especially if it's like online, and not a person yet, like as just literally just a way to meet somebody, like not even really a date. Like it's just like super casual. So I think it's almost a little bit weird if a guy were to like take me to a fancy restaurant or like, you know, something that's expensive. So I think that I don't see that as being cheap at all. Like, I think that's just understandable. And then like later on, you know, it'd be nice to be taken on nice dates, but especially for like the first date or two, like it gets totally makes sense, low key. And hey, I'm like, I always offer to pay. Like, it's always nice the guy pays, but you at least it's nice to know if it's coffee or something, like he's only spending a few dollars. Like, I don't know. I feel weird if it's a lot.
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel the same way. I'm like, do we have to go there? We could just go get coffee or like drive to the beach or something, you know? So that kind of brings up another question. Like, do you feel like there might be too much pressure either put on guys by society or their perception of like dating, to make it seem like the first date has to be like this big deal?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it's like for guys, but I feel like I've just from listening to podcasts and stuff, it seems like women are very torn on like, even I've heard about like, some women are like offended if the guy offers to pay. So like, I feel like I feel for guys in that area. Cause it's like,
yeah.
And some are like, oh, he's too cheap. And then others are like me, where it's like, that's kind of weird if you're asking me to do something expensive. And then I feel like I just try to have grace in all areas on that. Cause I don't, it's not that big of a deal to me personally. So like, yeah, I think there's probably just a lot of differing opinions out there that the guy doesn't know what he's going to get.
Valid. I think like sometimes these things, especially, well, maybe you don't want to talk about money like too soon, but as far as like bringing up the first date, maybe what we all need to do, and this is just advice to anybody listening, maybe what we all need to do is just kind of have that frank conversation, you know, of like, I'm not going to think you're cheap if you want to just go for coffee, or, you know, like, you know, kind of set that precedence. And so then beforehand, it's already talked about. And then when you get there, it's not awkward, you know, like if you have, for me, I love when that guy pays, but I will still offer, you know, right. But I guess like the way to handle that better would be like, hey, you know, we're going to go out. You're planning this date. Can we have this conversation about, do we want to go Dutch or, you know, whatever, like, because then that takes the situation, well, hopefully takes the awkwardness out of it. I don't know. I feel like there might still be some guys that would be offended that I even asked, like, you know, but then again, maybe he's not my guy. Okay. Oh, so you haven't really like had like many guy friends that are like platonic or anything like that?
No.
I've always had guy friends. So it's always interesting to me to find women who don't. I've always been one of the guys. So I guess that's probably why. I do agree that it is pretty rare to find like male and female friends with zero feelings on either side. But I feel like that's where boundaries kind of, you know, come in, and like having that conversation of like, hey, this is just friendship before anybody starts catching feelings. Okay. So how can a guy be more intentional when he is interested in you? Remember what you said?
No.
Okay. You said, I like a decent amount of communication, not overwhelming, but consistent, regular checking in and always talking about the next time we'll talk or meet up, showing that he really wants to get to know me and asking lots of questions.
Yeah, I think. Especially that, like, kind of not leaving it like up in the air for too long in terms of like, I want to see you again, like making it clear. Like, I don't think be like, I want to be exclusive on the first date or whatever, but just like that I keep wanting to see you, I want to keep getting to know you, like making it clear that he's planning dates, and then hopefully like, yeah, moving things along after a certain amount of time. But also it's interesting because I recently like met someone that was very intentional about like meeting me and stuff. He had to like fly out. Oh. So it was like really intentional, but I felt like he didn't seem that interested in getting to know me. Like he clearly was interested in pursuing a relationship, but like actually getting to know me as a person, there just wasn't a lot of like questions, and you know, so like that's important to me too, but that's kind of different, I guess. But to me, like you really want to like get to know someone, you want to like, yeah, just like show a lot of interest in their life.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's sometimes the everyday, like, hey, how are you doing? How was your day? Goes so far,
yeah,
in my opinion, you know, of it's just like that kind of like general check-in, because I feel like that's more everyday life, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And asking lots of questions is very important. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to ask you this too, because I have a very different experience with purity culture. And so you said it didn't really affect you much. And so if you want to kind of go into that, that would be really cool.
I mean, I don't, it's not that interesting. I just wasn't, it's weird because I've been a Christian like my whole life, but I wasn't really involved in church. I never got involved in like youth group and stuff. I just didn't, I don't know, get along with, or like, I didn't feel like I knew anyone, and it just kind of was easier to just go to the big church services, and my family was never like super involved in church. So I feel like I never really got the message of purity culture all that much. So that's why I feel like it hasn't affected me. I think I've learned from Heart of Dating and stuff, but I feel like, yeah, I mean, definitely stuff around like grappling with like waiting for sex before marriage and like, you know, just different things around like how far is too far in relationships and that kind of stuff. But like, otherwise, I also like live in a super secular, I live like in Boston. And so there were like no Christians in my school. Like I was literally like the only one that I knew. So like there was nobody else talking about any of this stuff. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Cause like me, like I said, I have very different, very different issues with purity culture, but it's fine. This is not my interview. I always find it interesting to hear the other, like other women's perspective on it though, because it's such a vast range. So yeah, that's really, it was really, really interesting though. I guess I didn't, wouldn't have even, because it was so ingrained in us, like, but I was also homeschooled. I was homeschooled and, you know, was doing all the youth group things. So that might have been the added part of it. You know, it was just like everywhere. So yeah, but that's interesting. Thank you for sharing that though, because I'm always curious to hear what the other perspectives are on it, because I hated it.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's okay.
Glad that I was not more involved in youth group.
Yeah. I mean, well, one of the other ladies I interviewed earlier, like she was very involved in youth group, but their youth group like just didn't, it wasn't a thing. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I'm like, how old are you again? You know? And she's like, oh yeah, I'm going to be 32. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me, because that we're in the same group, you know, right? And I mean, I'm going to be 34. So it's just kind of like how it was shocking to me to see that a youth group during that time when purity culture was such a huge thing, like didn't do anything about it. But I'm like, kind of cool, I guess, but also kind of weird. I felt like everybody was on that boat. So, ooh, okay. So do you think that integrity connects to communication skills? So you said not necessarily. Do you want to like expand on that?
I feel like I was thinking of somebody that maybe is even a little bit on the autism spectrum, or like levels with communication for, you know, just hasn't really learned those skills, but they're like truly just, it's not because they're trying to like lead someone on or be flaky, you know, they're just like maybe don't naturally have those skills, but they can still be like have integrity or like want to do the right thing, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. I personally did not think of that at all, so thank you. That's like such a good point. Yeah, because some of us just don't, either we can't have or we don't have those communication skills, or you know, we were never taught them for various reasons, you know, right? Like family upbringing or whatever. This is a very good point. I'm glad I asked you that. Thank you. Ooh, so you want an egalitarian relationship? That's such a hot topic. Have you, what is it? There's a podcast series that talks about that. They do, he dives deep into it, the egalitarian and the complementarian aspects. Have you heard of it? No. Okay. I'll send it to you because it's real good. It's a lot, but it's real good. He like dives deep on both sides and it's really, really cool. But yeah, so you don't have...
I don't know like a ton about it. I just, from what I do know, I feel like I'm more...
You're more egalitarian. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I go back and forth. Just because I feel like with certain things I would want more equal, right? But then at other things I'm like, okay, yeah, no, you do you, boo, and I'm gonna do my stuff over here in the sense that like those aren't my skills. You know, so I'm hoping my future husband has those skills. And it's like, that's how we're going to complement each other. So that's why I go back and forth. But yeah. Okay. So you said, I do hope to find a man who is legitimately following Christ and would encourage me by his faith and obedience to God. Amen, sister. Amen. Oh, so you like smiles. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I like smiles too. That's really cool. And a positive attitude, kind, warm, easygoing, but passionate about life. So like, what does that look like to you? Like being passionate about life?
I think someone that like, I guess it goes along with the overall positive attitude, like just people that I've dated in the past that turned out, you know, into relationships, what I found really attractive. I noticed like they're all really different, but what they all had in common was like, yeah, being people that like really smile when they first meet you and like are friendly to people around them and just like have, I mean, one of them is like starting all these businesses and like really passionate, you know, but others were more laid back, but just like would be like super excited about like food, like love the food we were eating, or just like happy about, I don't know, you know, visiting new places or traveling or just like something that they really enjoy and just have like a lot of, yeah, like passion about something, I guess, or just like positive attitude about something. Like I recently went out with somebody that was just like, we went to this like beautiful beachside area and he just didn't say anything about it. Like, like very serious conversations. There wasn't any like, oh, this is so beautiful, or like, this is so fun, or like, I don't know. I just, somebody that can kind of enjoy the moment and like have a positive attitude about it, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I would agree. But that's why I wanted to like kind of suss that out a little bit and just be like, is this what I think it means? So thank you for explaining. Okay. So the whole, do you believe there's only one person thing. This has been a very hot topic also. So if you kind of want to touch on that, like that would be cool. If you need me to read you what you said, that I can do that too.
Sure.
Okay. So you said, I hope there is one person for me. Ha. Yeah. At this point, it feels impossible to find even one. So it's hard to imagine more than one. But I do understand the idea that there isn't just one person that we could have a good relationship with.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But in general, I feel like, yeah, I feel like I've been hearing a lot of podcasts and stuff about this lately. Like, that there probably are a lot of people that would be a good fit, or you could make a relationship work. And like, I also feel like God, you know, I don't know, gets a little bit messy with, because I do feel like God knows, you know, predestined our days and like knows what's going to happen and the choices that we're going to make before we make them. So it's like, one of those tricky questions. But in general, I feel like probably, yeah, that there's probably multiple people that like could be a good partner. And it's not like if you don't pick the right one, then like you're doomed forever. Like,
Yeah. I agree. I feel like a lot of millennials, like our, you know, age range, get stuck on that one person, you know, and then they're literally missing out on these other opportunities. Cause I feel like everything is a divine appointment, right? You know, so whether that person is going to be in our life to teach us something, or they're going to be the person that we're going to end up with, you know, like we don't know. We honestly have no idea until we're in it and even past it sometimes, like, you know, what the lesson was, because everybody is going to teach us something, right? So I think a lot of our generation gets stuck on that mentality of, but I have to find my one person. And so they miss out on these other great options because this person didn't check off every box, you know? So yeah, that's my my viewpoint. Okay, so what does a provider look like to you? You said somebody who works hard at whatever they do, has a stable career or vision / passion they are pursuing wholeheartedly and financially savvy. Is there like any other aspects of like being a quote provider that stick out to you?
I mean, I guess it goes back to, I have more of like a probably modern view of relationships a little bit, but mm-hmm. like, cause I, you know, plan to work probably just cause I like to, and also like in this economy, so I wouldn't expect to like, I don't know, be like completely taken care of, I guess, but just somebody that's definitely like pulling their weight and in every area, I guess, of like helping with household stuff and just day to day like life, and, you know, pulling their weight like emotionally in the relationship, and then like, mm-hmm. yeah, providing also like, I mean, it definitely is important to me that somebody has like a decent career or something viable that they're like working towards, or, you know, just mm-hmm. it's attractive, and yeah.
What is your biggest struggle with dating currently? Not meeting men who truly share my values, intelligence, and emotional depth are also very important to me, and it's rare to find all three.
Yes.
Also, yes. Do you have like, what was the word I was gonna say? I guess like I'll ask this question. At your current like church, do they have anything that's like for strictly singles, or is it just kind of like a free-for-all situation?
They don't. My church is actually really small.
Okay.
Like maybe 40 people total.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's a pretty young population, but yeah, it wouldn't really work out. I used to be involved in a much larger church that had a young adult ministry.
Okay.
I feel like I kind of aged out of it. Just everybody kind of moved on in for different reasons, but
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So like when you were there in the young adults group, like, do you feel like the leadership and staff were like, like did well to kind of cultivate like the community among singles, or was it just kind of, you know, like, hey, you're all in the same age group and, you know, we're gonna like lead you or not lead you?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I was involved for quite a long time, and mm-hmm. I thought the leader was great, like in terms of he would like have sermons, and he leads a church now on his own, and like I think he's a really talented pastor, and like the topics would be relevant for our age group. But yeah, socially, and it's tough. I don't know how they could do this differently, but it felt very clicky, and it took a long time to finally like find my group of friends. And then in terms of like dating, there's just way more women than men, which is a common thing. And it felt like, you know, there were a couple guys that all the girls were kind of interested in, and like, just, yeah, I think there was a sense of competition a little bit among the women, which is just natural, I guess, but it's kind of strange. So
I agree. It's like so weird to me, like when the competition like comes in, and I think that kind of points back to like the filters question with pictures and like, you know, presenting ourselves in a specific way, you know, like of trying to be more appealing, air quoting there, you know. But yeah, so I'm glad that you said that, like, you know, the leadership was good and stuff, but I feel like the clicky thing is everywhere too, and I don't understand it either. Like, I mean, I guess I get when you find your people, those are the people you want to hang out with, but we're also the body. And so we should be, you know, welcoming to everybody that's in the body.
Yeah.
You know, and being able to develop those relationships outside of, you know, our little group. Because again, like, community is so important, and you never know in what situation somebody might be able to speak something into your life or you into theirs.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been asking that question a lot about like the young adult situation, like what was the experience like? Because mine was very, very interesting. So I'm like, I need to hear some other opinions on what churches did. So, okay, cool. How many times have you been rejected? Lots. Online dating. Yes. Same. That's why I hate the apps. There's such a struggle. Okay. So those are like, okay. So what does spiritual maturity look like to you? Okay, so it's fine. You said compassion and empathy for others, mm-hmm. sincerity and authenticity, prioritizing prayer and personal time with God, genuinely seeking to build relationship with Him and to follow Him.
Yeah, definitely like that. If a guy, and not that just like reading your Bible every day is like a sign or that, I don't know, like I don't read my Bible every single day, but a guy is like clearly pursuing a personal relationship with God, like through prayer or journaling or reading the Bible or whatever, like that's a really good like green flag to me, because I feel like I've met a lot of guys that like go to church every Sunday and they might even be involved in things, but they don't seem to really like talk about God, or like they don't, I don't know that they really pray, or you know, like just wonder. And then also in their character, it can often come out through just like the way they treat other people and focusing on really like striving to like a humble spirit and attitude of like wanting to grow, and teachable spirit, being open to like growth and correction and stuff like that.
Teachable is huge. I'm gonna write that one down. I'm gonna write that down right here, because it's so true. And I feel like most people nowadays are just not teachable, like men and women period, are just not teachable. So that is a good one. I'm totally adding that to my non-negotiables list. Thank you. Okay. So you said you were happy to share anything else, but you couldn't think of anything at that current time. So I guess I just asked that question, like, is there anything else that you feel like you want to share or expand on that we've already talked about?
Like I want guys to know, or like.
Yeah, that you want guys to know, like either general or like a specific topic. Take your time.
Yeah. I don't think of anything really. I think it's just like, I don't know, like I keep going back to this person that I just kind of dated recently, that it's like really trying to find. And I hope this obviously like, well, I won't make the cut anyway, but like between us, see if something comes out of it as I process out loud. Like really, really wants to find a wife. Like, and he has all these things, like he's got career and he's like good looking and the house and like the money and like, you know, just like all the ducks in a row and like good hobbies and travel and all the things. And it's like just not sure like what's missing. And I feel like, I don't know that it's not all guys are like this, but there's like this piece of like listening and emotional like connection that is just like missing. And I think probably a lot of guys just, and it's hard, I don't know how to like change that, but this guy was actually in therapy, which I was really impressed with. And to me, like, I'm impressed with guys in therapy or like doing things to like work on themselves, you know, or like be aware of like, how women can be more sensitive, or like just that they can learn more about their own emotions and like be introspective and vulnerable and all that stuff. Like, that's like really important to me and like attractive to me. But I think like guys are not taught to be that way. So I get that it's like really hard to then in a relationship with a woman, like have to learn all this stuff. They can like get ahead of on that and like working on themselves. Like, that's really attractive to me. Ahead of the game.
That checks off this big box right here. Okay, cool. I appreciate that, because I would have to agree. Like, for me, I'm an oversharer. I'm also an overcommunicator, and like, I kind of need somebody to balance that out in me, you know, but also willing to be vulnerable. Because if you're not being vulnerable with me, then I'm just over here like giving you all of this, and like, there has to be, you know, a give and take.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, thank you. I appreciate all of the opinions. Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink. If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at @anepiffwithtiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.